Again, good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently, welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know to shake your hand and express our hope that you will make a home here with us. One way to do that, of course, is by getting involved in what God is already doing in and through this congregation. Lots of those ways can be found in the bulletin insert. I'm going to list just a few of them. First of all, this coming Wednesday, the day of Epiphany, we will have an Epiphany party in McWhirter Hall at 6. It's a covered dish. You can find in your bulletin insert all the details relating to that. In this one and the larger insert, you can find the details. The gifts listed there really are simply the foods that you'll be bringing according to the alphabet. You'll see it listed. And we are going to begin our emphasis on pilgrimage. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the service. But if we would love it if you could be there. We could love it if you could begin your pilgrimage with this congregation on Epiphany Day. So this Wednesday evening, if you can possibly come, please join us. Also, in January of each year, we collect foodstuffs or other materials for one of our mission partners, and this year we are collecting for Launchpad. You can read more about Launchpad, find out the specific needs that we have in the bulletin insert. You can bring those anytime during January, but wouldn't it be a great time to start on Wednesday night? Just show up with some of those gifts to bring to get us started for Launchpad. Also, there will be a call charge conference on January 12th at 5:30 at the beginning of our ministry table meeting. There are two purposes for this. One is, on the off chance that our pledges justify offering a very small increase to your staff, if that happens, you have to have a call charge conference in order for that to be extended to your clergy staff. So it's called for that purpose, in case we can do that. And also to continue our one of our candidates for ministry, Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez, in her candidacy process. So if you are chair of a committee, if you serve on a committee, if you are a member of the charge conference, of course, anyone is welcome. But if you're a member of charge conference, we would love it if you could be there for that. And finally, I want to introduce to you our new minister with youth, Emily Robbins. You'll see Emily a little bit later. She'll be leading worship, but I want you to be introduced to her first, thinking you might be a little more comfortable to walk up afterwards and shake her hand and introduce yourself. Emily graduated from Florida State, did her graduate work at Huntington University, and has served churches in Florida and in Tennessee before coming to us. This is her first official day, although she's been around off and on for a while. And we're just delighted that you're here with us, Emily. We all look forward to getting to know you better. And as I say, you'll have an opportunity to do that in worship. And I hope you'll take an individual opportunity to do that as well. Thank you. Did you ever take a trip and you didn't quite know what the destination was? Or you didn't quite know who you might encounter along the way or once you got there? Usually we don't take trips like that, do we? When we take a trip, we know where we're going, we know where we're staying, we know who we're going to see there, unless we get surprised. Today we're going to talk about one of those first kinds of trips, one of those trips where we might just encounter God in a way we never, ever expected.
Thank you. This morning, let us turn our hearts to pilgrimage.
Let us walk along the ways of the Lord.
This morning, let us listen to Christ's guidance.
The path of Christ is life-giving and abundant.
This morning, let us seek our destination in the eternal.
Let us travel together.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
we are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Spirit of God, in the proclamation of your word, Reveal to us the hidden mystery of your love in Christ, and strengthen our faith that we may approach you with boldness. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
When I was a senior in high school, a long, long, long time ago, in our senior English class, our teacher, Mrs. Sled, who was barely 5 years older than we were, a recent graduate of Austin Peay, decided that she was going to initiate a group of country children, that would be us, into the wonders of English literature. I'm not sure if she came up on this idea on her own or if she was taught this in school. But the very first thing we did, the very first thing she required of us, was to memorize, stand before the class, and recite the prologue to the Canterbury Tales in Middle English. There is probably no more gruesome sound in all the world than a group of country children attempting to speak Middle English. But we did it. I can do it to this day, but you all look like a nice group of folks, so I will spare you. But I got interested in the longer story, not just the prologue, but all of these stories that get told along the way. And so when I was in graduate school, I had the opportunity to take an entire course in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales in Middle English. And so that meant that each time we arrived in class, we had to have certain portions translated from the Middle English into the Modern English. And I don't know if my professor was just taking pity on me or having a little fun with me, but he always asked me to translate the bawdy parts. Perhaps it was because he knew I would have them translated, although the other parts maybe not. And he knew that I would translate them for the class with great gusto and frankness. Whatever the case, I fell in love with these stories. In fact, just a few years ago, a very dear friend at Christmas time gave me a new translation of the Canterbury Tales. No, I do not sit around and read them in Middle English. Not unless I'm required to. They're about a pilgrimage. The people in these stories and the people who tell these stories are on pilgrimage. They are going to Canterbury in order to visit the shrine of a saint. Now, ideally, for all Christians, pilgrimage means you go to Jerusalem, right? But if you can't go to Jerusalem, you can go to the shrine of a saint. If you can't go to the shrine of a saint, you can use what we have here, a labyrinth. And walking the labyrinth is supposed to be a form of pilgrimage. And so this group of pilgrims that Geoffrey Chaucer is describing come from all classes of English society in his time. And though he starts with an upper-class story, you might think he was going to observe the hierarchy of the society of his time, but it gets all mixed up by the time you get to the second story, and he uses these stories to offer a somewhat critical view of the society of England at his time and a somewhat critical view of the church at his time. On the pilgrimage, there is a contest among the pilgrims to see who could tell the best story. The reward at the end was going to be a meal, but Geoffrey Chaucer never finishes the Canterbury Tales. They are left incomplete, which may actually be a good thing. But along the way, we get to meet person after person and hear story after story and come to know not just individuals but a whole society of people who are going to visit the shrine of a martyr, the holy, blissful martyr for Forsaken. That's why they're going. And if you don't believe that violent language can lead to violent behavior, that martyr was a man named Thomas à Becket. He was Archbishop of Canterbury. He got crosswise with Henry II. And Henry, in a fit of anger, said, "Who will rid me of this troublesome priest?" And so three of his knights decided they would do just that. They would go to Canterbury and they would rid him of this troublesome priest, Thomas à Becket, by murdering him. So if you don't believe violent language leads to violence, it has for a long, long, long time. So they're going to the shrine of this particular martyr, not just to remember his story, but like all pilgrimages, no matter where they lead, the destination is to an encounter with God. Now, they knew their destination. It was Canterbury. But as we read the story, they never quite arrive, do they? When we make pilgrimages to other countries, when we make pilgrimages to Jerusalem, ultimately our destination is to encounter God in a different way, in a different place. Just yesterday, we had a group of folks from West End who left to go to Haiti. They're going to be in Pignon working in a hospital. A year ago, right at this time, another group of us went. And believe me, you're going to encounter God in Haiti in a way that is radically different from any way you have ever encountered God before. You may think you know your destination. It may have a name. But believe me, that trip is full of surprises, as is every mission trip. I think every mission trip is a pilgrimage. Talk to any youth in this church or an adult who began going on mission trips as a young person and ask them about that experience, and they will tell you how transformative it is to begin to experience God in a very different place among very different people. A little later this month, there a group of us are going actually to Jerusalem and to the Holy Land. And while we basically know our itinerary and our destinations, we really have no idea how we will encounter God there in a culture and a time very different from our own, with people very different from those we know. Isn't it interesting that Jerusalem has become that kind of pilgrim destination for three major world religions, all of whom hold it as a place where you can experience God powerfully in new and amazing ways? And of course, instead of using that as a reason for cooperation and peace, we use it as a reason for conflict and hate, which I think dishonors the sacredness of that place. It says more about us as people than it says about God and encountering God in those sacred places. The original pilgrims, of course, were the Magi. You know, we don't know much about them. I don't know if you read Ray Waddell's piece in the Tennessean about the Magi. It's a wonderful piece. I would read anything that Ray wrote. He's a terrific writer. But he affirms what we have known for centuries, and that is we really don't know much about the Magi. We don't know exactly where they came from. We don't know exactly what religion there were. Oh, we've speculated. We don't know that they were only wise men. Magoi, the same word we get magician from, could include wise women as well. They certainly weren't kings, although we have given them that designation over the centuries. There weren't just three of them. There were three gifts, but the story never says how many there were. So we don't know a lot about these Magi that we celebrate today, that we celebrate in Epiphany. What do we know? Well, we know they were foreigners to the Jewish folks telling and hearing this story. We do know that they set out on a pilgrimage without knowing their destination. After all, they were just following a star, and they were going to stop wherever that star stopped. We do know that they were not of the same religion as the king they were seeking, who was a child at the time. They never expected, I'm quite sure, to encounter Herod, the king of the Jews, to encounter a king who, when he hears about their mission, seeks to help them to find out where this child is going to be born and then promises that he'll come worship him in exactly the same way those knights worshipped Thomas a Becket. Because, you see, kings don't like other kings being born in their kingdoms unless they happen to be their children. And sometimes they don't even like that. That's how power works. They certainly didn't expect to find this king they were seeking born in humble circumstances. According to Matthew, Jesus could have been up toward 2 years of age. He's living with his family in a house. They certainly didn't expect him to be as young as he was. Otherwise, why would they have brought those gifts? You don't bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh to a two-year-old, do you? Who does that? They set out on a pilgrimage, trusting that they would have an encounter with this king, who reflected the light and love of a God, of a religion not their own, that they would encounter God in that humble circumstance, not in the halls of power in Jerusalem, but in that humble circumstance in that house, and that warned in a dream that they were not to have anything else to do with Herod. They would go home by another way. You never encounter God and go home the same way you were, ever. Whether it's on a mission trip, whether it is on a pilgrimage, we never encounter the living God and return by the same way we came, because we are transformed by that encounter. The Magi were indeed those first pilgrims, and we're inviting you on a pilgrimage. You can read about it in the bulletin insert, but this is a pilgrimage that you've already been on for a while, but we're going to make it very concrete and real during Epiphany and during Lent. We hope you can join us Wednesday night. You're going to have a passport, and you're going to be able to get that passport stamped as you go on this pilgrimage. And it's going to be a pilgrimage not necessarily out somewhere. Oh, you may travel. It's going to be a pilgrimage in somewhere. to encounter that God who is present with us. Remember, that was Jesus' name, God with us. So that you can continue to grow and be transformed by the love that those foreigners found in those humble circumstances when they encountered the child Jesus. And it won't just be for a week or 2 weeks. It'll be for a season, actually more than one season. And you'll be invited to find God in the ordinary travels of your daily life. After all, a little bit later in this service, we're going to be asserting that you can come and you can find God in the simplest things in the world. The breaking of bread, the sharing of a cup, the sharing of a meal. God is there. You know, I don't think we can only find God when we go on pilgrimage. I think God is present with us at all times. It's just that when we are traveling, we open our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts to new experiences and different experiences. And that's when we are most receptive to encounter the God who is there always, who is with us at all times. So we don't actually find God so much as we become aware of that presence with us. Always with us. And in pilgrimage, we open ourselves to that presence and that love, just the way the Magi opened themselves to the presence of God's love when they arrived at that house. Along the way, like Chaucer's pilgrims, we'll be telling stories too. We'll tell the stories of our lives. We'll tell them to each other. It won't be a contest. The meal that you'll be invited to, of course, will be the same meals we always serve, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. The hope is, however, that in those meals you will find a different experience of God, a more profound experience of God, the God who is with you always. So let me invite you to join us on this pilgrimage. Like the Magi, we are a pilgrim people, after all. Let's be on our way.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for the church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you'll find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. Today you may notice that I am not Nancy Hawthorne. I'm Reverend Lisa Glock, Pastor of Mission Outreach. Nancy is under the weather today, so I'm filling in for her. We want to offer sympathy to Peggy Hutton, who is mourning the death of her daughter Julie, who died December 18th. Private services were held at Calvary United Methodist Church. And we offer sympathy to Trey, Susan, Mary Frances, and Maggie Harrell, her mourning the death of Trey's mother, Wenda Harrell, who died Tuesday, December 29th in Florida. Services will be held there on January 9th. Also, please keep in prayer our Haiti mission team, who are traveling to Haiti and will be there through Thursday. God has graciously given all that we have. As people of faith, Let us return thanks through our tithes and offering.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyous thing to lift our hearts and hands to you, O God, God of light and love, in thanksgiving for your gift of grace. Before we knew the unsearchable riches of your child Jesus, we walked in shadows and cloud. But now, as you reveal radiance to the world, we, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Creator God, and blessed is your child Jesus. While wise ones brought him gold, incense, and myrrh, he grew to reveal to us countless treasures, radiant with life and grace, revealing the shining mystery which is you. As your light to the world, which darkness will never overcome, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Come, Holy Spirit, dwell among us, your sons and daughters gathered here together to feast at this table. Use us to reveal your gifts of love and light to the world. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Because there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hands, palm open. You'll be served the bread first, then the cup. After you've had both elements, you're welcome to stay for a time of prayer if you choose. Then when you do return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, please catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers. We'll be glad to serve you there. At every monthly communion service, we have an offering, and this month that offering goes to support Miriam's Promise. Miriam's Promise is a longstanding agency of the Tennessee Conference of the United Methodist Church. They provide for adoption services, they provide for crisis pregnancy counseling, and they provide parenting training. They are a wonderful organization. I served on their board for many, many, many years, and I know their staff, how dedicated they are, how well-informed they are. They were one of the first, actually they were the first adoption agency to serve women who were incarcerated in Tennessee. So if you would care to join in that ministry, there are two offering plates at the front here next to the front pews. You're welcome to leave your offering for Miriam's Promise there as you come for communion. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. you stand and join with me in the prayer after receiving? You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts. Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.